CHLY 101.7 in Nanaimo.
Our government is acting to support Canadian industry in difficulty, including forestry, manufacturing, automotive, tourism, agriculture, and to protect the families and communities who depend on those jobs. Our government is acting to protect the vulnerable, the unemployed, lower-income Canadians, seniors, Aboriginal Canadians, and others hit hardest by the global economic recession.
That was Canada's Governor General, and we heard a portion of her speech from the throne on Monday. The speech from the throne was followed up by the long-awaited and highly anticipated budget speech on Tuesday. The minority Conservative government announced new spending and tax cuts, including an additional $1.4 billion on Aboriginal issues.
The BC Assembly of First Nations is a political territorial organization that represents the 203 First Nations in British Columbia. The regional chief of the BC Assembly of First Nations, Sean Inchut Atlio, is in Nanaimo today, and he joins us on the phone. Well, hello, Mr. Atlio.
Good afternoon.
Hi, welcome to People First Radio.
Thank you very much.
On January the 16th, the Assembly of First Nations National Chief Phil Fontaine called for immediate action on First Nations infrastructure as part of its plan for economic stimulus. Mr. Fontaine also said that the Prime Minister and the provincial and territorial leaders had heard the concerns of the Assembly of First Nations. Mr. Atlio, is the budget what you'd hoped for?
Well, the budget is what I would consider a start. Or a first step, but really a first step of many that need to be taken to close the deep and significant gap that exists between the conditions of the communities that that I represent, our people, and that of the average Canadian. The amount, 1.4, you were mentioning at the top, 1.43 million, a billion rather, that was identified, that number even falls short of the kind of needs that we have in, just here in British Columbia. We have, for example, a need for around 8,000 housing units just in British Columbia alone. And the money for social housing across the entire country, a portion of that 1.4 is around $400 million. And so we can see that there's still a significant gap that exists throughout the country. There also was, I think, a large concern on my part was a lack of focus on economic development funds to stimulate business and entrepreneurship amongst Aboriginal people throughout the country. So while I welcome the announcement and the recognition of the needs for funding in various areas, I was also pleased to see that the First Nations and Inuit Health is receiving some additional funds. We badly need support in the area of health services. I think it was somewhere in the range of $20 million for children and family services as well, from what I understand. So those are important areas as well. There's infrastructure funds that have been identified in this budget. There's $200 million for skills and training. That's going to be really important because this economic downturn will not last forever. It will rebound, but it must always be understood that our people have been enduring poverty for a good long time. And when times are tough for the broader Canadian economy, it makes it all the more difficult for our people. And so while I welcome the announcements that have been made, we have a long ways to go.
Yes. The BC Regional Chiefs Special Assembly is being held in Nanaimo on February 23rd. At the Vancouver Island Conference Center. Is that going to continue to address some of these concerns, or can you share what that meeting is about?
That meeting is about working on implementing a BC First Nations Economic Development Action Plan. I really appreciate that Chief Wise and the Stoonamo First Nation have agreed to host and help work with us to invite not only the 203 chiefs of British Columbia, but we're inviting chiefs from throughout In fact, North America, both the United States, throughout the North, Alaska, and certainly across Canada, to talk about how we can support economic development and entrepreneurship, how it is that we can work together throughout the various sectors. Provincially, we've got provincial First Nation councils and action plans in areas like fisheries, forestry, mining and energy, justice, health, children and families, all of which have economic development sides. We also have, obviously, provincial groups working on areas like skills training and education. And so this three-day assembly, February 23rd to the 25th, the first 2 days of which are going to be open to business and economic leaders, governments, First Nations chiefs, happy to have, of course, Vancouver Island University. We'll be inviting them to help play a part and support this initiative. And I'm really excited about it happening right here in Stu Namath territories in Nanaimo. And a little bit closer to my home territories, which are Nuchonoth and the Housit community on the west coast of Vancouver Island.
Mr. Atlio, I'm wondering if you could comment a little further on the links that you see between economic and social development and how they fit together or how one supports the other and vice versa.
Well, for the last greater than a decade or more, First Nations communities, the 633 First Nations communities throughout the country, have been under a 2% spending cap from Indian and Northern Affairs. And there is no level of government that can adequately survive or care for their communities when they are under that kind of crushing restrictions. And whenever I'm traveling throughout not only British Columbia but Canada, I come across example after example of communities that are beginning to develop their own source revenues. They are building, they're using the natural resources, whether it's sustainable forestry. I just came from a trip in Shequetan territory, the Adams Lake Indian Band up near Chase, BC, is involved in organic agriculture. I think we got some great examples here on Vancouver Island with the Cowichan Indian tribes. You see this new name of being involved in the port development. My community on the west coast of Vancouver Island involved in sustainable forestry. You've got the Nuchonoth communities around the Port Alberni area involved in independent power production. And so I think communities are now really beginning to turn their attention towards generating their own revenues. That, of course, builds jobs for people in their communities, and everyone deserves the opportunity for success. And, you know, a good, healthy First Nations community is going to make for a healthy British Columbia community and Canadian community. I think that's the whole point, is that this economic crisis is impacting everybody. And the three-day forum, if I may add, the working title is Rebuilding Our Economies and Repairing the Environment. The climate change, environmental crisis, this if impacts and affects all of us. The economic crisis, the same. And so I really wanted to hold an event where we can come together, come up with innovative and constructive ways forward, forge new relationships and partnerships so that we can build strong, healthy communities.
That we were just speaking with the CEO from the Navigators Connect Aboriginal
Vancouver
situation.
Coastal
yes, thanks,
Health.
Kevin. I just lost that. Are you, I guess you must be interested in this new development as well, with regards to health care and accessing other services to, as she put it, close the gap between services for Aboriginal people and other people living in Canada.
Well, it's absolutely essential, and the announcements made in the budget on to First Nations health issues was actually a pleasant surprise. It was unexpected. We didn't expect to see this. Now, British Columbia is also at the leading edge in terms of being organized around the area of health. We have a tripartite health plan in this province between First Nations, the provincial government, and the federal government. And this was really launched when we signed a transformative change accord with former Prime Minister Paul Martin at what is very often known famously as the Kelowna Accord discussions that
yes.
took back in 05. Now, we also know that the Harper government, by and large, turned their back on implementing the overall accord. But what most don't know is that BC did end up with a signed agreement that includes the area of health. And so I'm very excited that we have a provincial First Nation Chiefs Health Council. They're very active in working with all of the health agencies throughout British Columbia. And, you know, we're finding ways to work together. Issues like using the internet and the broadband and telehealth, these are all really, really important developments as well to reach out to the communities that are more isolated. So we've got a long way to go. Provincial Health Director Evan Adams, the former actor of shows like Smoke Signals, I was so pleased to hear him make a keynote speech about 4 or 5 months ago where he said health indicators are starting to go up for Aboriginal people. And, you know, we've got problems. We have serious, serious problems in our communities. But there are a lot of really hardworking, dedicated people that need full support so that we can continue to close that gap.
Mm-hmm. And there have been some shifts within the justice, areas of justice as well. Is that correct?
Well, there have been. And justice is another area where we have held provincial assemblies and developed the Provincial Justice Action Plan. And I just met, I was in Ottawa very recently meeting with the federal head of Corrections, Corrections Canada. We've got a working relationship with the Attorney General here in British Columbia. We've been very, very focused on the Frank Paul inquiry. Many are very well aware mm-hmm. of that incident of the tragic death of a Mi'kmaq gentleman in the downtown east side, drawing into sharp question the treatment of our people in the justice system. We also have a provincial protocol with the RCMP. We definitely have a long way to go in the area of justice, but we've got to appreciate the work that's being done on the front lines by friendship centers, the Native Court Workers, Counseling Association of BC is doing a lot of work. And our interest in supporting the chiefs is for the chiefs to share and accept responsibility for issues of justice throughout the entire range. It's linked to children and families, or when charges are made on the river for fishing, for example. Of course, issues throughout the entire court system, and that we don't forget our people when they end up inside, that, mm-hmm. that supported for their healing journey and supported to return back to a productive and healthy life.
Indeed.
I'm wondering if we could return back to your comments on the BC Regional Chiefs Special Assembly just briefly in the couple of moments we have left here. You were speaking about a meeting with business and economic leaders. What do you see as developing out of that process? Are you seeking a letter of understanding or a mechanism for moving a discussion forward? Is there some sort of goal beyond an exchange of information that you're seeking in that meeting?
Yeah, we really do need to move on with action. And I see I'm hoping for a couple of outcomes. First, we want to essentially move to launch an interim BC First Nations Economic Development Council. I'm very excited about the prospect of having a group that can spend their full time focused on stimulating the economy, building jobs, and helping communities build wealth so that they can supplement the incomes that they have to help their people. It's also, secondly, about relationship building. The idea of building partnerships with business and industry is going to help build capacity in our communities. But there's also an important two-way understanding that occurs when business leaders are able to understand where it is that our community is coming from, the fact that we do have inherent title and rights, that we've fought over 40 court cases across this country, which consistently reflect the fact that title and rights and treaty rights do exist in this country. By the same token, we can also learn a lot from the business leaders about successful businesses. And we've got a lot of business partnerships between First Nations individuals and groups and mainstream business and industry that we can learn from. So this session is about getting on with the business of developing business in First Nations country.
We look forward to observing some of the outcomes of that meeting. Thank you very much for joining us today, Chief Atlio.
Yes.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking the time out of your day. And all the best luck on that conference and assembly. I guess we'll be watching for some of the stories that emerge from that particular meeting.
We'd invite you to come down. It'd be great to see you there.
Yes, we might do that. Thank you very much.
Right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Sean Atleo is the regional chief of the British Columbia Assembly of First Nations. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Open Minds Open Window Society, both of Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of these organizations. Please join us again next Thursday at noon for People First Radio.